We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We're going to play on and stand strong with Drodo and Dibs. Turn the game on. Pump up the volume. It's time to play ball.
Gentlemen, boys, and girls, welcome to the championship rounds of Joe, Lo, and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Former NFL quarterback Sean Salisbury will join us in about 30 minutes at 9:35. He is on the Houston Rockets flagship down there in old Texas. Go behind enemy lines and see what he has to say around 9:35. He's always been a good friend of the show. Those of you who get our 9 o'clock hour, you probably get the most unique of the 4 hours, I would say. It's where we tend to usually go off the rails. I met someone the other day, a guy in my building. This guy, Kevin, really nice guy. He and his wife are expecting their first child, close in age to my wife. So, you know, they've got this little thing going on. It's nice. Everyone was having drinks down the street, not the pregnant ones, of course. And he listens to the show. Like, even before we had got to know each other, he listened to the show. An Uber driver dropped him off once.
Okay.
He's like, oh, you live here? Do you listen to 95.7 The Game? The one dude lives here. I don't know how this Uber guy knew I lived there. But regardless, neither here nor there
nights.
At the moment.
None of those nights. He probably drove you.
I don't have those anymore. I got nothing going on, Coach. I have a glass of wine like an Italian in the middle of the day, and that's pretty much it. Shout out Italy. I love the way you do things.
Shout out
over
Naps,
there.
Too.
Yeah, shout out the Naps.
I miss this.
So we get to talking, and he starts talking. He goes, I think the 9 hours is the best. I was like, really? It's where we probably do the least amount of organized talk. No, it's great. It goes off the rails. Today would be one of those days, but it's a big story. It's a big story coming off a 112-108 loss in Houston last night. Series now knotted at 2. But that doesn't mean it has to be a negative hour. I think we worked ourselves through the full emotional spectrum of last night's game. That's the beauty of the morning show. The game ends. You have your final notes. You go to bed. You come in here and you let it fly. Started negative. And I think it's worked its way towards more of a positive outlook. Not so much in that, oh, Clay's going to turn it around or Steph's going to turn it around. I'm not going to sit here and say that they will. Clay is not playing well on either end of the court. The bench looks terrible. But I think we stumbled onto something with your question to Papa in the last segment, Lo. The idea that this could be Kevin Durant as Madison Bumgarner in the 2014 World Series. This could be the Durant moment where y'all thought I came here and joined a championship team. I did. But I can also lead a championship team. I can also win a championship for a team. And while everyone else is going to have to pitch in, this could be the ultimate opportunity for Durant to look around. Steph's not playing all that well. You know, he's getting fouled, but they're not calling it. They're not calling the fouls on Steph. Klay's shot's not falling. You know, he'll shoot his way out of it. Draymond's all fired up. Bench stinks. This could be the opportunity for Durant to do what he wasn't able to do in OKC. And for that, the legacy, I'm not sure how it's impacted, but it's got to be impacted in a very positive way.
It has to. Just the way that you're talking about the other guys, the other superstars that are prolific shooters, arguably one and two in the association that as we know, you think about what Steph, he broke the record, and who was number two behind him? Klay Thompson. So when you think about what those guys, who they are and what they have meant to the association, you say it's unbelievable. But right now, when you talk about the consistency, it hasn't been there. It's been very inconsistent for these two guys. Klay last night, what, 5 of 15? You know, Steph had a decent night last night, but the night before, two nights prior to that, think about where these guys have been. So when you think about KD and what he's doing, oh my goodness, this could be his finest hour as far as he'd been on a team with superstars, but the guys didn't play at that level. And you think about for the NBA, who would you want to see? You want to see Harden and Dame Lillard? You want to see, or do you rather see KD, Dame Lillard? Then if you look at the finals, you talked about it, Giannis and KD. You have so many things that this guy could put onto his resume. And I think especially right now with a struggling Klay and Steph and how prolific KD's playing, I don't think the narrative can say he had to join this team. this guy joined this team. And I think this year, if he continues to play and thrive like he is, and these guys have the up and down, the roller coaster type of nights that they're having, I think without a doubt, you would have to say, man, KD did a lot of value for his career.
This is huge for his legacy because if they fall short and if he decides to leave, wherever he goes, he's not going to be the favorite to win the NBA title. So if you think about where his future destination would be, the most likely ones are New York and the LA Clippers. Outside of staying here, I still believe he will stay. But let's just say, hypothetically, he does leave.
He may
not be back in the NBA Finals. He may not have another chance to win an NBA title. So now he retires from basketball with two championships. LeBron's got three. You're probably not going to pass LeBron in the all-time points list unless you have a great second half of your career. So all of a sudden now your chance to surpass LeBron as maybe the greatest player of all time or the greatest player of your generation, that's hurt by the fact that you don't win this title. And to your point, if he does lift this Warrior team with a struggling Clay, and Steph's been effective, but he hasn't been as electric as we're normally used to seeing him. If he does get a third title in this fashion, that would be maybe equal to what LeBron did in Cleveland, in my opinion.
Confidence level heading into game five. Series is now 2-2. I think when it was 2-0, we all felt a certain way. I think most of us probably assumed, go down to Houston, take one of two, come back and close it out in game five. I was of the opinion they might go down there and take both. I like the idea of sweeping them. I figured this was the year, put them to bed. Arrogance at its absolute finest. So now here we are, 2-2. I think none of us expected the Rockets to win both there. Is that a fair assessment?
Fair. Yeah.
Anyone?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're all in the same boat now. Now we find ourselves in a minimum six-game series coming back. Are we confident? What's our confidence level, the Warriors win game five? Forget about the 5.5-point spread. Confidence level, they win game five tomorrow night.
My confidence level is a 6, maybe a 5.5, depending on Andre Iguodala.
Out of 10.
We've been doing most stuff out of 10.
That's an F.
No, it's really not, because you got to go on the entire scale of 0 through 10. It's not that you get to 6 and it's a D. You'd have to incrementally look at things slightly different, because I think...
It's my question. It'll be my rules.
Okay, you can judge it however you want. Then it's a D, fine. If Andre Iguodala is unable to go, all of a sudden that plummets into F range, because without Andre Iguodala, you're going to have to rely on at least some of this bench, and we could go player by player, and right now, confidence ratings on the players coming off the bench, you feel pretty good about playing Kevon Looney. We talked to JD earlier today, and he said this series now is basically down to Houston's top 7 against the Warriors' top 5.5. I think he gave him
a half. No one else can play.
Kevon Looney gets a half. He played 22 minutes, and he was a +1. So as much as he...
But do you think those were 22 good minutes, or did you see him getting worked out there? Plus minus can be useful, but it's not a be-all, end-all.
He got worked a little bit. He also contributed with some rebounding and some defense. Ultimately, you would give him at least a half credit for what he provided. Bench-wise, McKinney looked overmatched. Livingston looks like his career should have ended a few weeks ago. Quinn Cook, Jordan Bell, they might as well not have even played.
Counterclockwise, 0 to 10, confidence level in just winning game five. Don't worry about the spread. Right. Official predictions tomorrow.
I'm going to say a 7 right now.
That's not good.
It's not great, because I've been kind of worried about this whole season, how they have not been consistent all season long. And while they have been good at home this series, last series against the Clippers, they weren't as good. They've definitely faltered. And I am a little worried about the bench, but I do think that they can win. I'm just not very confident.
What if Iguodala is not there? What is your number?
If Iguodala's not there, I'm going to be going down to a 6.
Wow.
I think Iguodala not playing game five is a concern, not as big of a concern of winning the series. I think maybe they can dig down deep and find a way to still grab game five. I think the crowd rallies. I think maybe they get some officiating that swings back in their favor a little bit.
Yeah.
They take game five. Whether or not winning the series, that's a different question entirely. Where are you at tomorrow night?
Joe, I'm where you were. I'm switching. Me and you're playing. We're going to flop. I'm where you were yesterday for this game. Because I
stay out of my pew, my religion.
But no, you left the church.
I like to practice my own voodoo over here, all right? I don't want anyone getting involved.
Dibs, was that needed? I'm not, he left. He's
not
on.
Dibs, that's actually you.
Yeah.
You're not.
Yeah. Wow. I'm just channeling my inner low, inner chucklehead.
Whoa, that's a lot going on. I believe because of Andre's limited availability for this game, I think you're going to see a team even more motivated. I think that now you have to
galvanize that.
Absolutely. I think that that situation, it puts mine at a 9 or 10 because I know that now if I'm in that situation, guys are going to have to step. It is no, there is no way around it. You lost a guy who's bringing you defense. You got a guy who's bringing you attitude, knowledge, all those different things what Iguodala brings. It's hard to replace. But now guys have to step up and even play bigger. So I think that that makes me feel way, way more confident.
Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. Your confidence level, 0 to 10, 10 being the most confident. It's a lock. Going into game 5, just game 5 tomorrow night. Tip time 7:30 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game. As always, Warrior playoff coverage on 95.7 The Game, presented by Great Clips, proud partner of the Golden State Warriors.
I want to know where you are, Joe, because Lowe has flopped, and your words, not mine, from where he was prior to game 4. I wonder if you are as confident in the Warriors in game 5 as you were in game 4. You were quite confident that they would win game 4.
One of my favorite bets of the year. It was one of my top bets of the year. It certainly wasn't a national anthem type bet.
Right.
Because
right.
We already know the outcome of those in advance. But I felt very close to that. Love that bet yesterday. And not as a bet you make. For example, in bet 162, I bet the under in the Giant game. That ended in about 7 minutes.
Wow.
7 minutes. And 5 of those minutes were delayed because of bees. As if that wasn't foreshadowing. So I lose that, and then I roll into the evening, and of course, being a degenerate, I have to bet the early basketball game.
Yeah, I understand.
But the research only really pointed to one thing. I like the under. Sprinkled a little on the under and won that one. Yay, the littlest bet of the day wins.
Yay.
And then I took those winnings, and I multiplied it by about 6 and sent it into the Warrior game and got cracked. So, on one hand, I don't want to be as boastful with tomorrow night's
right.
game because I don't necessarily want to mush it. But on the other hand, I do feel very confident going into tomorrow night's game. Back against the wall, step up. And you know what? I use the analogy all day. But when you go to buy a driver, when you go to buy a golf club, I don't care what the ball does when I hit it well. That's because I know what it's going to do when I hit it well. It's going to go straight and it's going to go long. What I want to test is what's going to happen when I miss hit the ball. How far am I going to spray that thing? Which club is the most forgiving? Because that's what my game needs. Kevin Durant is the most forgiving driver out there. You miss hit Kevin Durant, you're in the rough. First cut. No big deal. You can still get up and down from there. You can still par. You miss hit Klay Thompson, that thing's OB. That thing's in the Pacific Ocean if you're playing Pebble Beach, the 18th.
That'd be a snap hook.
Yeah, it'd be a good old-fashioned snap hook, assuming you're right.
I hate when that happens.
Right? Steph Curry, you miss hit that driver, that thing sprays a little bit. You miss hit Draymond, that thing sprays a little bit. KD doesn't spray. It just kind of sails off a little bit. It lands in the rough. You're still in good shape. He is going to continue to deliver. I'm convinced of that. At home, I think you're going to get a better effort. Dib says it all the time. The role players play better at home. I think you're going to get a great, great effort from the crowd, and that's going to be the difference. One of the two fundamental points that led to a Houston win last night was tempo. They owned the tempo of that game. A slower pace plays to Houston more than it plays to Golden State. And you saw it. They bring it up the court. They get set. Harden brings the clock down. Everyone gets a chance to get their breath. Then Harden tries to get one up, or maybe he facilitates a little bit. Whatever. The Warriors get the ball off a miss or whatever it may be, and they're jailbreaking down to the other end. They're trying to force Houston to play an up-tempo style, but Houston's not buying it. And because Golden State can't penetrate, they're trying to find an open look. They got some cold shooters. They can't get into a rhythm, and you end up playing Houston's tempo, and Houston wins the game. I think it's easier to dictate tempo at home than on the road, thanks in part to crowd noise. I think they dictate the tempo to the other night. Not laying the 5 as of now.
Right,
5
right.
and a half, we'll talk about that tomorrow. But in terms of confidence level, very confident. This team, while they have been frustrating at times, is one thing we know above all else. They are bankable. They've only lost one playoff series in just over 4 years worth of postseason stints. And that was due to a teabag.
Yep, as we discussed earlier. So you would say
shout out Earl Grey and all of England.
Are you at like an 8, 8.5 in the confidence thing?
Yeah, 8.5, okay. 9.
That makes you feel better.
When in doubt, I will always side with this team. When in doubt, always. Now, during the regular season, of course,
a different story. All bets are off.
They don't really care about some of those games.
Those games are, yeah.
Tomorrow night, very high confidence level. I expect the fans to show up, put the damn t-shirt on.
Put it on.
And for anyone who doesn't, you better be making 3 times the amount of noise.
Mm.
I don't care how much money you make or why you're in the building. This is not going to be the final Oracle game. Do you understand the responsibility the people who go to tomorrow night's game have? Do you have any idea the responsibility you are tasked with. If you do not show up and they do not feed off of you and they lose that game and then lose game six, the final game in the history of Oracle Arena is James Harden and, more importantly, Chris Paul defeating the Juggernaut Warriors. You cannot allow that to happen. The place needs to be louder than anything that happened during We Believe. It needs to be louder than anything that's ever happened outside of perhaps an indoor monster truck show, because those things are so loud, you really can't top that outside of a nuclear missile launch.
Yeah, and I like kind of Joe where he's at, Daniel, and I love the
stay out that church.
I love the golf analogy. No, I'm not going to talk about necessarily the. I'm not going to church. I'm not going to talk about the win loss.
In the same bunker right now, but with a different lie.
You know what? I was going to go a little deeper in that. He talked about the
just brilliant.
He talked about the driver, and he talked about what KD is.
Sure,
you know, that consistent driver. And Steph and Clay, I think that they're you're right. If they have a bad, it's spraying all over. When you have a bad,
Clay's a two iron right now.
Yeah,
because nobody hits two iron.
Exactly. Not even God.
It's hard to hit, but I don't put Draymond in that driver category. He's more like a pitching wedge. You know, you can't get distance because it's just a pitching wedge. You know, when he's playing, he's just going to be. This he is. You're not going to necessarily get the distance. You're not going to spray those.
Get off my analogy. I don't like where this is going. Get out. If you want the analogy, focus on the lie in the sand, the old fried egg lie. And we can relate it to the grilled cheese head and the eggs people throw at you at the parade.
And maybe we can go back to pecan head when you're talking boxing earlier, Muhammad Ali, and old, what was it, almond head?
Draymond's a pitching wedge. All right, get out. Get off.
Acorn head. Ernie Shaver.
Oh, acorn head.
Look it up and look it up and see acorn head, Ernie Shaver.
I'm old enough to remember Ernie Shavers and watching those fights on Wide World of Sports on a Saturday.
Incredible. The guy worked his rear end off to become a professional boxer, and he's known as a guy as Acorn Head.
Yeah,
thanks to some lughead radio announcer.
You know what, Joe? I think that you were feeling my analogy. That's why he got me off that joke, the dibbies.
Nah,
he ran
nice,
me off that. He ran on the
driver analogy, and then you come stumbling in with some pitching wedge.
What that was a lichen analogy. You were trying to grow on his analogy.
Did it make sense?
It was a parasitic take, is what it was. You were trying to live like that bird that lives on top of the hippo and just picks off all the garbage off the hippo.
It's a barnacle take. You attach yourself to my pirate ship, and now you're trying to feed off of everything that swims by.
You're going
to
do that, Dib?
I'm actually going to do that.
Seven applause, actually. Sorry. Just saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty much unanimous there.
Has Clay ever scored 30? I'm asking you a question, Miss Anna.
Yes,
Miss Top Rope. Has Clay scored 25 before? Clay and Steph, have they all scored 25 or 30 before?
Before.
Yeah. Often? Has just Draymond?
Mm-hmm.
When? He ever scored 30? Come on. That's what I'm saying. They are on KD. All those guys are the driver. I made an analogy about here's a guy that's a nine. He ain't going to get this guy to score and hit the ball deep like these guys. That's all I was saying. I was adding on to your
take. All I'm saying is get off the take.
Okay.
Just create your own take. It was
and
a good,
you,
good golf
and for
take.
You to do that, Mr. Dan Dibley.
I calls him as I sees him, Coach. And ultimately...
Well, that's all, folks.
It's like I laid out this beautiful Thanksgiving spread.
Okay,
and you came in and fell into the table all drunk and knocked all the food on the floor.
Anybody have any steak?
Yeah.
No, we don't
gravy?
Steak. It's Thanksgiving.
Where's the pizza?
So eat the turkey. Get some gravy and mind your P's and Q's, Coach. You look at the situation and it can be boiled down to as simply as this. Klay Thompson is averaging 21 points a game for his career. It's been a pretty darn good career, and he's been very bankable. In this series, he's averaging 15.2 points a game, and that is woefully inadequate. In a series when you're losing these games by one and two possessions, to have a guy falling that short of where he usually is, it's not to say he's the only one to blame, but his lack of productivity is symptomatic of the biggest problem in the series.
Not even that. Give me the field goal percentages. That's the thing. If his scoring drops, that can happen while still playing a good game. You could still play well if a scoring average drops. What you want to look at is offense rating, net rating. You want to look at player efficiency rating. And you want to look at field goal percentage, and that's where it's dropped off.
Yeah, he's 24 for 62 in this series, Coach, which is just about 36, 37% for the series. And so he hasn't been that aggressive in the second quarter. He's shooting about two times a quarter right now. When they need offense off the bench, he hasn't been there. Catch and shoot isn't there. 5 of 15 in game four. You're not going to win many games when Clay plays that badly.
From the 510 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, you guys make your show cheap. Sheep, not sheep. You guys make your show cheap with all this pettiness. What are you, new here? No, the show works. I mean, welcome.
Great.
It's great to have you, 510. Thanks for the support. I mean, I know we're close and getting inching closer to 1.1 billion, and that's great for the listeners. We really love all of you, but make your show cheap with all this pettiness.
I apologize that we allow real reaction, real human interaction to bleed into it. We could just praise each other for four straight hours and verbally just giggle at every single thing, but that's not who we are as people. You get real radio over here.
The bird you were referring to, I believe, is the ox. Can I say this? Can anyone see that on the 707?
Ox, can you spell it?
Don't say that.
Okay.
The wide receiver, Eric Decker.
Oh.
Ox, but not Decker.
Ox Decker. It's the old Ox Decker.
Let's go with that.
Is that allowed? Am I allowed to say that on air?
You can say Ox Checker. You can say it.
Ox Striker.
Striker.
What do we... I'm starting to realize something here. Outside of breaking down that game, I do think there is a great responsibility falling on those who attend this game tomorrow. I feel as if we're not paying enough attention to that. Mm-hmm. The idea that this could be the final game in the history of Oracle Arena. Chris Paul cannot emerge victorious.
Dancing on your court.
In the final game at the history of Oracle Arena. I'll share a tough moment with you. I'm going to open up here a little bit. And hopefully this serves as motivation for tomorrow night. I'm trying to remember the year. It's my senior year of college. It's January of 03, that's got to be. Philadelphia hosting Tampa Bay in the NFC Championship game. This was finally supposed to be the year. You lost to the Rams 2 years before in St. Louis, came out of nowhere. Eagle fans were thrilled. The next year, I believe... this was the second year because Carolina was the third year. This was supposed to be the year. You're hosting the game. It's at the Vet. Anyone who knows the Vet, it's for those of you who know Candlestick, it's the same feelings towards the Vet. Here comes Tampa Bay, cold weather game. You had owned this team in the playoffs for years leading into this. Tampa, Philly would get together, and it was always Philly, always. And they come in, and this is the final game in the history of Veterans Stadium. Like I said, as iconic as Candlestick. And the Bucks come in what was supposed to be a glorious celebration of the Eagles getting back to the Super Bowl. Donovan McNabb gets pick sixed by Rondae Barber late in that game, going in. Barber takes it 90-some yards the other way, silences the crowd. Tampa wins. Tampa celebrating on your field, on the dirty cement AstroTurf of Veterans Stadium as they end up winning a spot in the Super Bowl and then ultimately beating the Oakland Raiders. Everyone here remembers that. The next year, the Eagles came back and opened the season week one on Monday night against who? The defending champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who walked into the new building, Lincoln Financial Stadium, and hammered the Eagles on their home turf yet again. The famous play, if anyone remembers, on the goal line, Joe Juravicius, the wide receiver for Tampa out of Penn State, tipped the ball to himself and then turned and caught it. It's incredible. If you don't remember what I'm talking about, YouTube it. Joe Juravicius, touchdown versus the Eagles. Incredible play. It was a basketball play. Bottom line, no one in Philadelphia has ever gotten over that moment. The fact that Tampa came in, won that game that they weren't supposed to win, celebrated on your field, then went and won the Super Bowl, and then later came back to beat you the following year. Don't let that happen at Oracle. It is on you. The louder and more hostile you make that place, the quicker old Jimmy Harden will crack. The quicker Chris Paul will look around and realize he doesn't want to be there. Because ultimately, Chris Paul doesn't really want to be in this series. Chris Paul likes to talk and he likes to be dirty, but Chris Paul doesn't like big moments. He's shown us that through his entire career. Big moments aren't for Chris Paul. Chris Paul likes little, cheap, garbage moments, not big moments. Let that resonate for a bit. We're going to talk to Sean Salisbury because it's very important. Anybody who's going to Oracle Arena tomorrow night does their part. It's not about entertainment tomorrow night. It's not about showing your clients how much money you make. Tomorrow night is about one thing and one thing only. It's about helping carry your team to a game six in Houston and putting the Rockets on the brink.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
All right, to Houston, Texas we go. Former NFL quarterback and host of the Sean Salisbury Show on Sports Talk 790 in Houston. You can catch him 6 to 10 a.m. Central, Monday through Friday. Kind enough to join us on the program once again. Sean Salisbury here with Joe Lowendibs on 95.7 The Game. Sean, good morning. How's life treating you?
All is good, man. Good to be on with you guys. Thank you.
Take us through the thought process, the mindset of the Houston Rocket fan today. Down 2-0, they hold court at home. Series now 2-2, shifting back. Is there a growing sense of belief that this Warrior team is vulnerable?
I think they believe they're more vulnerable, even, you know, at the point when the Rockets had them down 3-1 last year. I think that, number one, they realize how good the Warriors are. And I think the fan base, while confident, a little more confident, and while today is probably walking with their chest out, and judging from the callers and the people that, you know, join our show, they're probably, they feel a little bit better, but I think there's trepidation. I think there's a little bit of, you know, walking cautiously, you know, treading lightly with this, because they recognize that, you know, their skin's on the wall in Golden State. There is, you know, they've been there. They've got the best player in the world right now, and Kevin Durant, who's loading the team up, and they realize also that Steph and Clay aren't shooting the ball as well as we're normally, they're used to shooting. And so at any point in time, you don't want to be the one on the receiving end of that. And at some point you would imagine Steph got a little, you know, going a little bit last night, but still not, he doesn't miss many open look threes, and he's missing more of those than normal. And I know the finger on the other hand on the tape bothers the balance of the ball, and Clay's just not Clay, but at any time, and with Kevin Durant, you know it can happen. So I think they're excited, and I think there's a sense of confidence, but there's also a sense of reality that you're going back to Oracle, and both teams have helped serve, and it is the playoffs, and it is the postseason, and this is probably, I believe that the team who wins this probably wins it, and I think it'd be tougher for the Rockets to overcome 3-2 than I would the Warriors, even though I live here. But they're playing good basketball, and P.J. Tucker's defense and energy, and Austin Rivers, the bench play, and Eric Gordon, other guys' play has been the dominant part of this. We know what Harden and Durant are going to bring to the table, but it's the other guys for the Rockets that are keeping them in this, short of Harden playing spectacular and having to offset KD.
Is it also the sense that the Rockets are beating the Warriors at their own game? Because Houston increasingly has gone small, leaving Capella on the bench, and they're not only competing with Golden State, small versus small, but they're getting the better of them. Is that part of the source of the confidence for Rockets fans?
No question. And, you know, when Boogie went out, you can approach it a little bit different. And I think they were hoping offensively that somebody, you know, Austin Rivers could come off the bench and bring something and, you know, 3-and-D up a little bit. He's done a great job of that, his energy off the bench. And, you know, sometimes, guys, we always, it's sexy to talk about the stars. And, you know, when we're doing highlights or when we're talking about them on TV, it's, you know, we want to show the dunk and the 450-foot home run and the quarterback spectacular throw, but it's the key block, as Lo knows, you know, about that, or, you know, that double play when a guy backhands one in the hole, or in basketball, the P.J. Tuckers who's keeping plays alive.
Sure.
And we're putting him at center at times, you know, when you talk about the guy, but he plays much bigger and is very physical, so you're exactly right, and it's tough to beat the Warriors at their own game, and I think that's why you're still waiting for, oh my gosh, when's Clay going to hit 38 and Steph? So we, even as hosts and, you know, watching this series and every game and every minute, we know what the stars are going to bring. But it's, like I said, it's the other guys. And if Tucker's energy stays and they can get some at least key moments from Capella and run the floor well, but they're just playing good basketball. And I love the fact, guys, that after one and all the bitching and moaning, and on the Rockets fans were part of that, and we see a lot of, you know, of the complaining about referees, that if they have settled in, and I actually think from game two on, it's been a well-refed series. And we're going to let the fellas, I would hope, on the court decide it. And I would imagine Warriors fans are feeling pretty confident, even though they've lost two in a row. Think about this, guys. You saw a great game from a lot of people in the Rockets last night, and they still can't put them away. But for the Rockets, they thought, well, hey, they kept battling back and were able to stave off the Warriors, but not being able to run them out of the gym, I think, poses a problem, too, because we're still waiting. Will the other shoe fall off? And the Warriors, all the big three are up for 90 between them. And then the Rockets are in trouble. But the Rockets do believe they can play and beat, and I think fans do too, beat the Warriors. But they got their work cut out for them for sure.
Sean, we played on teams. Teams had heart. Teams had superstars. But how much does it come down to right now when you look at just the talent, when you talk about KD and Steph and you know, Klay Thompson, Draymond, Iggy, so many stars. But then you look at Houston. Yes, Chris Paul's a star in his own right, but the one true star is Harden. How much is it coming down to just heart and want to in this series right now?
Well, the best way to describe this, and it's a great point by you, is old school, your position. The guy, the fullback.
No question.
Who during practice And I think people get what I'm saying. During practice, the things we don't talk about, that fullback in old school, when we practice two-a-days in full gear, that fullback's coming up on ISO and draw during practice and 9-on-7 in run drill and beating the heck out of the middle linebacker. And they're butting heads the whole game. And we don't even talk about them. Then at the end of the game on Sunday, we say, ah, man, Lowe sprung our guy for 200 yards and the dirty work. Mm. Now, I'm not saying the Warriors aren't capable. You don't win two NBA championships without getting, you know, Iggy doing his thing and being the MVP, you know, back to back here. But in the, you know, whenever all the stars, and he goes and wins an MVP in one of their, in the original, you know, playoff series when he won his first one there. And
sure.
Then you start to talk about guys like that. And I think part of the Warriors' problem, guys, think about this. The minutes they're logging. Now, I know they're well trained athletes and in shape, but man. For the Rockets, the bench, and being able to save some minutes when KD's logging 42 and Iguodala's logging 40-plus, and all the guys are putting them up. I mean, fatigue, I don't care how well trained you are, it's not only physically, but mentally and emotionally exhausting to know. Think about KD, what he's got to do every night right now. I mean, he's got to do it. And Lowe, it is the other guy. I went into this series, honest to God, and into the playoffs, but in this series in particular, I said, the stars are going to show up for the most. They will. I know. And Steph got some. And Clay will have a good game before the playoffs or series are over. But and Harden and Katie, it's going to be the other guys. I said for the Rockets to win a world champion, the most important person is Eric Gordon. He has to be the second leading scorer on the team because and Chris Paul third, but Chris Paul being a distributor and doing those things and being the tough guy. But it's the other guys. It's diving on the floor. It's P.J. Tucker last night. If they're going to win this, of knocking balls away on a rebound. Even if he doesn't get the rebound, tipping it to Chris Paul so he can. So while the Warriors have so much talent, and they do dirty work too because they normally defend, but they haven't been defending as well. They gave up some easy baskets. I think what's keeping the Rockets in this, aside from Harden being just an epic offensive player, is the fact that the Tuckers and Rivers, and you're getting, you know, every now and then the Nay will get you a couple, you know, blue-collar rebounds and the ball's on the floor. Right now, it's that fullback mentality, low, and that H-back move-back, not the superstars. We know what they're bringing. It's the other dude that's logging minutes that's giving you important stuff for the Rockets, and it's ended up being the difference in a game right now.
Former NFL quarterback host of the Sean Salisbury Show on Sports Talk 790 in Houston, which you can catch from 6 to 10 a.m. Central. Sean Salisbury, kind enough to join us here on 95.7 The Game. Sean, as always, thank you for being so gracious for your time. We appreciate the insights. Enjoy the rest of the series. Hopefully we can do it again soon.
I look forward to it. I wish I was coming to that game tomorrow night. You guys enjoy. It should be fun. And the respect I have for the Warriors, Rockets, just hoping I can hang on and get through this thing, man. And KD's awesome. I appreciate you guys letting me join.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Sean. Take care.
You're the best, Sean.
True pro. Didn't come on trying to talk any junk or anything like that. Unfortunately, it's pretty much the only true pro during that interview.
What?
I really lost my focus very early on because of this.
Steph got a little, you know, going a little bit last night, but still not. He doesn't miss many open look threes.
That sound you hear is Lorenzo Neal turning his microphone on just so he can cough into it.
That's so weak.
It actually works in reverse. You turn the mic off and then you cough.
That's crazy. I totally threw me off too. Luckily, I had my question written down, Joe. Otherwise, I would have been completely thrown off in that moment.
I missed the entire rest of the interview.
Steph got a little, you know, going a little bit last night, but still not. He doesn't
you can hear the build-up, too. It's like an avalanche. Listen to it building up in the background. Play it again.
How you doing,
Steph
my
got
dude?
A little, you know, going a little bit last night, but still not. He doesn't miss any open-look.
You guys are classic, man. You guys just,
what do you mean us? They're the ones back there recording it.
Also, there's an easy way to avoid it.
Yeah.
That's why you caught that, because you can hear him continue. I was turning it off, and I guess I was a little slow on the button.
Still not.
For those who don't know, the button literally says cough on it, God. So that you know when you're coughing, you push it. He coughs, then he pushes it. It's really only a two-step process.
I will say they're right next to each other, though. So were you trying to press the cough button, or were you trying to turn it off?
I was just going off, and I thought I beat it, but evidently I didn't.
Close, but no, sir.
I tried to help.
Thank you, Anna.
Coach Tapscott has been on hold for like 2 hours.
Oh, wow.
That sort of dedication really deserves a place on this program. Coach Tapscott, thank you for your patience and your continued support of this fine show. The floor is yours, sir. Please fire away.
Man, I really appreciate you guys taking my call. Houston's on a mission. Their goal is just to whip up on the Warriors, but we're going to find out what they're made of and all those banners they got hanging up. I used to always say you need 8 players, and I think Papa talked about the bench. But you can't stop James, man. That guy's going to get his. But what part of stupid don't you understand? Why are you reaching and fouling this guy? You know what he wants to do. The game of basketball comes down to defense, rebounds, and free throws. Injuries and illnesses play a big part. But I think the Warriors' strength is tempo and quickness. They're not working these guys. Ball movement, I think Papa talked about 260 passes, and they've now dropped down to that number. But I think game adjustments, your bench isn't playing. We don't have Mo Buckets. We don't have McGee. But you can rest your starters towards the end of a quarter. You can use your timeout. One thing I'd like to see him do is keep two of your shooters on the floor at all time and rotate through the three. Because when they put that second unit out there, everything just goes to pot. The mental game, the intensity, the focus is missing right now. The Warriors are going to have to pick up their intensity. And like I said, if we keep quickness in our game, even if they don't shoot it, they can get that ball down the floor and make Houston start to expend some energy. And then you've got to have game adjustments. And that's the other thing. But Houston is definitely outplaying the Warriors. Harden, give him his. Don't reach. Bobby and I used to say, Cap, keep it simple, keep it stupid simple. And I think the Warriors will win, too, and get this thing done.
Beautiful stuff, Coach. We appreciate the call. Thank you so much.
Way to fight through the interruptions, too, Tab.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can be tough to overcome.
We're a new show. We're still learning some of the technical aspects of how a radio show
this
operates.
This is fake news. You guys are keep playing this cough, and now it's acting.
My hands are up, Coach. I'm known for my button ring, but this is not on me, Coach.
I don't know how any of the buttons work. You know this. You've been next to me every day for 4 years. I don't know how any of this stuff works.
I don't know how to fade them at all.
Hi,
keep going.
Fade them.
I'm just saying, fade
them. Fade them out. Remember, she took over the buttons last week, and she didn't know how to fade them down.
You know, the 17-second applause.
Oh, fade down the... Okay, I got it. Yeah.
Coach made a good point, though, Joe. He
made a lot of points.
Yeah, I thought
it was a bit egregious on his behalf, thinking he was due that much airtime.
Did he play for Bobby Knight back at West Point in the late 40s? Let's go ahead and see if we can't circle back on Coach Tapscott's roots.
Was that Coach Krzyzewski?
Maybe.
Old Mike Krzyzewski? No, Tapscott was on point, like usual. Clearly enjoyed the Pop interview and had plenty to say. Little bit of a light note on the way out here. We have two historic moments that took place on this day in history. I'm going to play you the audio of both of them. I want to know what's the greater moment. Don't come back to tell me, well, it's greater because of, and then these 95 things that happened later. Just what's the better sports moment between the two? 30 years ago today, this took place.
Sellers has Jordan. Jordan with 2 seconds to go. Puts it up and scores at the buzzer. Michael Jordan.
Dick Stockton and Hubie Brown on the call. Michael Jordan over Craig Elo in the opening round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. 30 years ago.
Amazing.
Sounds like the 40s. That sounds so long ago.
Both men, by the way, still broadcasting at a high level. Dick Stockton and
yes.
Hubie Brown, who's an American treasure.
Outstanding. That was 30 years ago today. This right here was 3 years ago today.
Sloan looking for his first hit of the year.
Oh. He drives one. Deep left field. That goes Upton. Back near the wall. It's out of here. Bartolo has done it. The impossible has happened. His first career home run.
Nice.
Wow.
But I'd like to hear that in Spanish, please.
Lanzamiento, saca batazo elevado, fuerte por la parte izquierda, va atrás, bien atrás, lleva color, lleva sabor, hasta la vista, baby.
Nice, very nice. Bartolo Colon, at the age of 7,000, hits his first and only career home run off of none other than big game James Shields,
yeah.
Who the Giants dodged a bullet when they were trying to sign that dude a few years back.
And I believe the home run trot just ended. Sources tell me that it took him a little bit of time, but Bartolo did make it around the bases. I thought it'd be a slam dunk that the Jordan moment would win, but I didn't hear the Jordan over Elo in Spanish. So based on the bilingual nature of the highlight, I'm going to have to side with Cologne on this one, Joe.
Interesting.
I mean, wow.
Now, it's the Jordan moment. If you think about that moment when you can hear it, you could kind of feel it. And you saw Elam, Joe, he rolled on the floor like a wheelbarrow. I mean, after just like patted the floor. I mean, Jordan, you just hear, can we get it played again? If you guys.
Zellers has Jordan. Jordan with 2 seconds to go. Puts it up and scores at the buzzer. Michael Jordan has won it for Chicago. Michael Jordan hit the basket at the buzzer. And Wisconsin and Lenny Wilkins leads the floor.
And Madden is on the field. An impossible dream of a play.
Come on, yeah. You gotta go big sexy.
Yeah, that's the opening round of the playoffs. Is that possibly the most overrated moment of all time? Jordan over Elo for an opening round win? Wake me up in the conference finals.
Oh my God, you gotta see the play too.
Yeah, I've seen it. Believe it or not, it was 30 years ago. I've seen it quite a few times.
Didn't you think that was neat how Elam's just rolling on the ground? Like
Jason Elam? Is that who you're referring to?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Rolling on the ground. Why is your fixation on the defender rolling on the ground?
Because it was like, you remember, like as a kid, you're this mad guy, just hit the ground. Like, I can't believe it happened. He rolled like 3 or 4 times, and then he just pounded the ground. That was just absolutely sensational.
Yeah, that year they were really hoping to get out of the Eastern Conference opening round, the quarters, and it just didn't happen. It was heartbreak for Craig Elo and the Cavs. In the opening round.
And the Bulls unable to win the title that year, so that was one of those series wins. They won it in Game 5, so that was really a series ender, and it really was the start. It was the beginning of what would come for Michael Jordan, so there is some historical significance.
I'm down about $1,200 in bet 162. I got it all the way down. It was down 1033. I got it down as low as 118, and I have now lost 6 of my last 8. 3 straight, down 11.53 after yesterday's under 8.5 total runs. Thanks to everyone involved in that game, starting with Drew Pomerantz. Like, get a guy out. How about that? Get out of an inning and then go back and lick your wounds. Terrible performance all the way around, so it's another loser. Today, I don't know, Bumgarner versus Colorado. House of Horrors.
I mean, wow. Number of different ways you can go here.
I'm going to go no run in the first inning. I don't have a price on it yet because you don't get those until the lineups come out later in the day. So like usual, this will show up on Twitter. No run, first inning. After last night, I don't have time. I don't have the time to grind through all of this. I've been grinding these games lately. Let's get it done with. First guy up, knock it out of the park, or all of you get out. I'm only dealing with one batter tonight. So that's it. The price will be out later today. It is an over-under of 10.5. So you got to figure the price today isn't going to be -150 on the no. Could be a little bit less, but it should still be a sizable favorite.
And you're on the no for
one unit. I got scaled back.
One unit. No run.
It'll probably be something around risk 140 to win 100. No run in the first inning of today's Giants-Colorado game. By the way, Mac Williamson hit like 10 home runs last night. He got called up.
You better hope he's not in the lineup because he's swinging a hot bat right now. Yeah, I got to tell you.
Sure, it's going to continue.
Without a doubt. And, you know, some shuffling at the top of the... Are you okay, Lo?
Tatis. Look, the three names everyone's been waiting on. Tatis, Guerrero, Williamson. Everyone's been waiting for the call-ups.
The big
it's
three.
About time the Giants got
the
around
Mac.
To it. About time. What are you upset about?
These guys are just overboard, don't you think?
They're going to do this forever.
My God.
This is Steven's finest hour.
Yeah.
You're going to fit.
And he's back to just rolling. Like
rolling.
A I mean, Dibs, it's ridiculous.
He finds himself.
It is ridiculous.
Impossible has happened!
Wow. I didn't know you you had the sniffles 30 years ago.
I'm pulling for you today, Joe.
Sure.
No, because
sorry, Coach, we're all out of time.
I got
all out of time for so many different things. Sunshine and the Guru are coming up next. I'm sure they're thrilled with last night's performance. They will be joined by Brian Scalabrine at 11
it's
o'clock.
Over, Joe. It's over.
Steinmetz has been doing a great podcast with Scalabrine, too, if you have not caught that, by the way. You think Guru's coming in shook? It's over? You think he's packing it in?
I'm telling you guys, it just might be over. I'm telling you, the sign of the Warriors has come to an end.
How do you think Steinmetz is feeling? You think he's going to sell the dream today? Whatever. That's it. We're done. Dibs, Anna, Lo, I'm Joe. Thanks for hanging out with us, everyone. Greatly appreciate it. As always, remember, if you're going to Oracle tomorrow night, we're going to talk about this all day tomorrow. If you're going tomorrow night, it will not be the final game played at Oracle Arena. Chris Paul will not get that honor, and a lot of that responsibility falls on your shoulders to make that place as hostile as possible. All right? So think about that. Think about that. If you plan on going to that game, you wear the T-shirt, damn it. You make plenty of noise. I'm going to go have some beers. Talk to you tomorrow, 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.